Hour News. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good morning. This is the morning news for today, Friday, August the 27th, 2021. I'm your presenter, Hassan Robinson. Here are the headlines. Dr. Emmanuel Finn claims Dominica's police service is broken and we are in serious trouble, and challenged the current police chief to live up to the legacy of chiefs who had served and set correct paths before him. And global. Barbados' debt is set to be amongst the highest as a percentage of gross domestic product, as debt stocks stood at just over $13 billion, or 150.3% of the GDP, although economic activity has estimated to been growing by 5.5%. And U.S. officials report a suicide bomb attack at Afghanistan's Kabul Airport Abbey Gate, followed by an assault by gunmen on Thursday, which left over 100 people dead, including 13 U.S. service members and 19 Afghans. Big Station. The news is brought to you for the very kind compliments of Rudolph Thomas Enterprises. The details of these stories and more coming up next.
Rudolph Thomas Enterprise in Portsmouth, your suppliers of building materials and hardware products. Over 20 years experience in the business. Rudolph Thomas has lumber and plywood, Portland and tile cement, steel rods, galvanized and fence pipe, and Rudolph Thomas can meet all your wire needs. Galvanized roofing sheets, doors, windows, toilet sets, face basins and bidets. PVC piping, fittings and lattice. Check out Rudolph Thomas for ceramic and vinyl floor and wall tiles, nails, nuts and bolts, paint and painting supplies. And check out their line of electrical and hand tools. And Rudolph Thomas is your one-stop shop for hard-to-find items like fiberglass mat and fiberglass resin and welding rods. Go now to Rudolph Thomas on 1240 Bay Street in Portsmouth.
And welcome back. The Dominican police force is broken right now, and once that happens, we are in serious trouble. That's according to Dominica's Dr. Emmanuel Finn, speaking at the launch of the newly formed North American-based Nature Island Dominica Civil Liberties Foundation, or NIDCLIF, on Tuesday. Dr. Finn sent out a challenge to the current police chief to live up to the legacy of the elder officers who had set the paths before him.
I'm very, very proud to know that two of our police chiefs, Dadai Matthias Dadai Lestrade, as we call him affectionately, Dadai, and Chief Hilbert, these are guys from not too far from where I grew up, who came from the mountains to lead Dominica's police force, and they did an outstanding job. And the gentleman who currently is in an acting position, who also hails from La Plaine, I hope he can follow their footsteps and be a professional police officer, professional leader, because obviously legacy is something that we all have to hang on to. So that is my hope. And again, this is an emotional plea here to the gentleman who currently has the title of the head of the police department, because obviously we feel, and all the indications show, that the police force is broken right now. And there's factual evidence to that. And once you have a broken police department, once you have a broken security apparatus, I think you're in trouble. And when you're in trouble, democracy is in trouble. When democracy is in trouble, the souls of our people are in trouble.
And that was Dr. Emmanuel Finn. Meantime, former Scotland Yard detective Dr. David Mitchell, or Michael, says no one is above the law, and the police service in Dominica should stand by the law and for the law, and should always take a moral stance when asked to do something contrary to the law.
The laws of Dominica are very clear. The Police Act in Dominica is very clear about the roles and responsibilities of the commissioner, the roles and responsibilities of every officer who's sworn into office, who takes that oath, and whose responsibilities and obligations are to the laws of Dominica and nothing else. And one thing I'm very clear about, it doesn't matter what jurisdiction we police officers serve in, whether it's in United States, Canada, France, United Kingdom, Dominica and elsewhere in CARICOM, we are, our obligation is to the law, and no one can direct you and order you to break the law, to do anything illegal. So it doesn't matter what jurisdiction we're in, and if we're in Dominica, the laws of Dominica are clear, the Police Act is clear, and that each officer takes that oath of office, and their responsibility is to the laws of Dominica, and no one can direct you, order you, suggest to you, unless you want to be complicit in undermining your own, basically putting yourself at risk of prosecution for failing to do your duty under the law.
And that was a former Scotland Yard detective, Dr. David Michael. And speaking to Q95 journalists on the socio-medical disposition of the country as it relates to vaccine hesitancy, Dr. Samuel Christian said a people united can never be divided, not by a virus and not by those who exploited it for political gain. He shared some thoughts on the origins of vaccines, which stem from African minds and cultures, and he encouraged the persons to take advantage of the vaccines that are available during this pandemic.
A people united can never be divided, not by a virus, not by those who exploit it for political gain. We mourn those we are losing, but there's no way to truly appreciate all we are saving. A year ago, all we knew was to wear our masks, wash our hands, and social distance. Compared to other countries, Dominica gets high marks. Congratulations. Thank God today we have a vaccine. Yes, a vaccine that greatly improves our chances. But we also have friends and family with honest questions and sincere doubts. Did you know that a black man was the first to introduce the African practice of vaccination to the New World? That was way back in 1709. He was a slave in Boston, Massachusetts, named Onesimus. O-N-E-S-I-M-U-S. Yes, a black man. Find the whole story on our Caribbean Virus Defense Facebook page, or just Google it. People resisted it then, and they resist it now. Yet today, all Dominicans I know were vaccinated as children. You understand? Let us live in hope. Let us remember these three simple things. Knowledge shall increase. This too shall pass. Be patient with friends and family. Let us always love one another, for we have no idea what next year may bring.
And that was a Dr. Samuel Christian. And a pathologist, a Dr. Gail Defoe, quotes the iconic phrase of reggae artist Bob Marley, "Only we ourselves can free our minds," in seeking to encourage Caribbean citizens to think more critically towards vaccinations. Dr. Defoe points out that increased treatments are needed as it relates to the vaccine rollout. She said, "The longer Caribbean citizens delay getting the vaccine, the harder their lives will get, and socially as well as economically."
So let's look at the facts. 252 million infected worldwide, 4.5 million dead. A greater factor to focus on for our small economies. 25% of those who are infected are left with the severe burden of diseases that we are going to have to pay for. Vaccines are under threat. We have mutations, recombinations, resistance. New mutations threaten us, as in the Delta variants. They also threaten the efficacy of vaccines. The third round of vaccines are now being rolled out in the US, when much of the black world have not even gotten 1% of vaccines yet. We need more treatments in addition to vaccines. So we Caribbean people need to be a greater part of the solution, and not only bystanders or lockdown artists.
And that was pathologist Dr. Gail Defoe. And former Agriculture Minister Atherton Marte encourages persons to stand up and take action and demand what is due to them. He was speaking on a social special edition of the Talk on the Block program on Thursday. As Marte says, it's clearer now more than ever that there is a need for a stance.
So as my vision of sight fades, my vision of internal understanding and commitment brightens and strengthens. And I see very, very clearly now that we've got to stand up. We've got to get out there in all the nooks and crannies of Dominica and make sure that our people understand that when somebody denies you a job, that is bad enough. When somebody denies you a scholarship, that's bad enough. When somebody denies you a house, that's bad enough. But when somebody wants to deny you your sense of dignity and worth, nobody, no people should accept that.
And that was a former agriculture minister, Atherton Mata. And owner of Be Natural, Terry Henry, reveals that there are superfoods which can significantly aid in the war against the COVID-19 virus. Henry alludes to the fact that Dominica has the capability of leading the goal of becoming one of the world's healthiest nations during this time of the COVID-19 pandemic. She encourages the Dominicans to be knowledgeable of the nutrients in the foods they eat and make healthy decisions.
Because we have so many aspects of our health and wellness, like Dr. DeVoe said, we really need a lot more research. We need money thrown at the research for our natural health and well-being, because we probably have about 20 cures for COVID right here. We have done a lot of research already, but obviously it needs to be taken further. So we have the dietary aspects of boosting our immune system, our fruits, our vegetables, herbs, the water. I mean, hydration is very, very important, you know, and we have the purest water in probably in the world in Dominica. So we're very blessed that we have all these things, you know, like if you look at the superfoods around the world and we have them. We have the sea moss. We have sorrel. We have guava. We have our cherry, which is the highest vitamin C. We have all these amazing herbs available to us. And it's not like you have to go far for them. They're in our backyard. So again, I just emphasize that we really could be leading the way as the world's healthiest nation.
And that was owner of Be Natural, Terry Henry. And the social activist and Moon Seri executive Akashma Buju Richards says we have enough capable people around us to lead the country forward and produce prosperity, but it starts with the replacing of the current DLP regime. Richards was speaking on a Talk on the Block program on Wednesday, where he sought to paint the socio-political frame in which our society exists, whereby reform in a number of key areas needs to be addressed and implemented. Some of these include education and health, he says.
We have enough capable people around us to lead the country forward and produce prosperity. We have enough good advisors around us that we can lead our country into prosperity. We have the confidence that we can lead our people out of bondage and take them into a better place. We want to assure our people that. Because when we move the government, there are things that have to reform. For example, education must be reformed. Agriculture must be reformed to reflect the will of the Dominican people. Health must be reformed to take care of the Dominican people. It cannot be a situation where you have hundreds of beds for COVID-19 and no equipment for the hospital. There is a disconnect in that. So we want to assure the public out there that removing the Labour Party administration is not removing the government, because as you know, elections come and the government continues running.
Sure.
We just want to remove the executive out of the government. And to go furthermore, if we accomplish removing the government this year, it will give us two, 3 years before the next general election. We should have an interim government for the next 2 years to implement structural reforms in the government, to make new changes, and to set the groundwork for going forward, including punishing Labour Party and on our new economic path that we're going to go down for the benefits of all of Dominica.
And that was a social activist and Moon Sewi executive Kashmir Buju Richards. And the DPSU General Secretary Thomas Slater calls on political parties and leaders of the other organizations to begin aggressive campaigning with the various communities in efforts to encourage Dominicans to get vaccinated against COVID-19 and adhere to the COVID-19 health protocols. Slater says these are serious times that require realistic leadership and open-mindedness.
My friend, it is serious, and every thing that we can do, the involvement of everyone is extremely, I repeat, extremely important. In instances where you may not be, you are not being called upon to do certain things because of, for whatever petty reasons, be above that. Be above that and let your organization start its own campaign to get people to yield to those protocols and to encourage people, as one of our overseas callers said, encourage them to do the vaccine voluntarily. You know, all of us, political parties, you can identify supporters in each of the communities, in the various constituencies, who can go out there and encourage people, encourage them, and say they are doing it on behalf of that particular political party. Let the people see that you are involved in the campaign.
And that was the DPSU General Secretary Thomas Slater. And the PRO of the United Workers' Party, Nicholas George, accuses the government ministers and some of the officials of failing or falling over themselves to make public statements without addressing the COVID-19 crisis that is in effect right now. George was responding to the recent announcement by ministers of government issuing statements as it relates to SROs. The latest SRO reveals businesses are allowed to be open from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Mondays to Fridays and close 1 p.m. on Saturdays.
The government ministers and other officials seemingly falling all over themselves to make a public statement and not necessarily addressing the crisis of COVID in the manner it should be addressed. Dominica is in a state of public emergency, even if I were the ones to say that, right? If you have in excess of 500 active COVID cases in Dominica with 70,000 people, we have a state of public emergency. When we had nine last year, March, April, we had a state of public emergency and we had total lockdown. So it cannot be now that we have 500 plus and we do not have a public, a state of public emergency. Then let's go to the details. The minister has issued regulations that says who shall open and when they shall open. The business places will open from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday to Friday. And 6 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Saturday. Fine. There are people in Dominica who sell sometimes. Their best sale is from 6 p.m. I see liquor shop in Colligo, in Biosh, in Dublin, Coolidge Street, in Marigot, in Cassibrus. These shopkeepers have not been considered, and they have been suffering and continue to suffer.
Mr. Judge contends that $64,000 monthly living expenses of the Prime Minister should be distributed to help those who are most in need.
And here's the irony. While they are suffering, and some single mothers in particular, parents, are in houses where they're paying $100, $200, $300, $400 rent, they have been put out of work and they are not subsisted. But the Prime Minister has managed to persuade his cabinet of ministers to allocate from the public fund $64,000 a month to facilitate the payment of rent and other services at his mansion in Mount Daniel. Now, who it is that caused him to have that seeming power to do this? It is the little person on the street in St. Joseph, in La Plaine, in San Sauve, in Cassibrus, in the Kalinago Territory, in Westley, in Portsmouth, in Cottage. These are the people who were coerced to vote and put them there. And as soon as they were elected, they clothed themselves in an elitism system, and they're no longer concerned about the poor man. I think the regulation should have made provision for the discontinuance of the Prime Minister's receipt of $64,000 with effect from the 1st of June 2020.
And that was a PRO of the United Workers' Party, Nicholas George. And in other news, up to the end of June this year, the country's debt of Barbados stock stood at just over $13 billion, or 150.3% of their GDP, even as economic activity was estimated to have grown 5.5%. This is close behind the $14.8 billion debt the country recorded for the entire 2017 and over $15 billion in 2018, when the economy grew by 0.6% and 0.1% respectively. Economic activity declined by a whopping 19.8% in 2020. The debt measured as a percentage of the GDP would also go up simply because the economic base or the GDP has shrunk. A government was forced to borrow $1.2 billion during the financial year 2020-2021, most of which, about 90%, was a foreign debt in the form of policy-based loans from international finance institutions. By September, Governor General Dame Sandra Mason announced that the initial debt target would put on pause until 2022. The original plan, which was to achieve the debt to GDP ratio of 80% by the financial year 2027-2028 and 60% by the financial year 2033 and 2034. Government has since set a new timeline for the financial year 2035 to 2036 to achieve a debt sustainability and a debt to GDP ratio of 60%. Also in other news, more than 100 people were killed, including at least 13 U.S. service members and 90 Afghans at the Kabul airport on Thursday when two blasts ripped through the crowds trying to enter the American-controlled facility, disrupting the final push of the U.S.-led evacuation effort. A suicide bomb attack at the airport's Abbey Gate was followed by an assault by gunmen, officials says. Another bomb attack took place nearby at a hotel outside the airport, officials also stated, and 18 U.S. service members were injured, and the Pentagon released that information. The attack marked the deadliest day for the U.S. military in Afghanistan since 2011 and came just 5 days before the Biden's administration deadline for the complete military withdrawal from the country. The military expects more attacks, Marine Corps General Franklin McKenzie told the reporters. President Biden on Thursday evening says he was heartbroken by the violence and vowed to retaliate for the attacks whilst promising to continue the evacuation efforts.
I stand by your decision to pull out.
Yes, I do, because look at it this way, folks, and I have another meeting for real. But imagine where we'd be if I had indicated on May the 1st I was not going to renegotiate an evacuation date. We were going to stay there. I'd have only one alternative: pour thousands of more troops back into Afghanistan to fight a war that we had already won relative to why the reason we went in the first place. I have never been of the view that we should be sacrificing American lives to try to establish a democratic government in Afghanistan, a country that has never once in its entire history been a united country, and is made up, and I don't mean this in a derogatory, made up of different tribes who have never, ever, ever gotten along with one another. And so, as I said before, this is the last comment I'll make, we'll have more chance to talk about this, unfortunately, beyond, because we're not out yet. If Osama bin Laden, as well as Al-Qaeda, had chosen to launch an attack when they left Saudi Arabia out of Yemen, would we have ever gone to Afghanistan? Even though the Taliban completely controlled Afghanistan at the time, would we have ever gone? I know it's not fair to ask you questions, it's rhetorical, but raise your hand if you think we should have gone and given up thousands of lives and tens of thousands of wounded. Our interest in going was to prevent Al-Qaeda from reemerging, first to get bin Laden, wipe out Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan, prevent that from happening again. As I've said 100 times, Terrorism has metastasized around the world. We have greater threats coming out of other countries, a heck of a lot closer to the United States. We don't have military encampments there. We don't keep people there. We have over the horizon capability to keep them from going after us. Ladies and gentlemen, it was time to end the 20-year war. Thank you so much.
And that's the morning news. Here's a recap of the headlines. Dr. Emmanuel Finn claims Dominica's police service is broken and we are in serious trouble. He then challenged the current police chief to live up to the legacy of the chiefs who had set the correct paths before him. And Barbados' debt is said to be amongst the highest as a percentage of gross domestic product, as debt stock stood at just over $13 billion, 150.3% of the GDP. And the U.S. officials report a suicide bomb attack at Afghanistan's Kabul airport Abay Gate, followed by the assault by gunmen on Thursday, which left over 100 people dead, including 13 U.S. service members and 90 Afghans. The news was brought to you for the very kind compliments of Rudolph Thomas Enterprises. I've been your presenter, Hassan Robinson.
As it happens, when it